Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of losing weight only to gain it all back? The weight loss experts at SlimRank.com have done the research. SlimRank.com ranks the safest, most effective GLP-1 programs that get and keep the weight off for good. Stop watching the scale go up and down. Go to SlimRank.com and pick America's number one weight loss program today. SlimRank.com. That's SlimRank.com. Your dream body is just a few months away. SlimRank.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I'm your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And there was a race at the weekend at Assen, but I don't care about that, Yuri, because we had quite a big announcement. The announcement on Monday morning that Maverick Vinales is quitting Yamaha at the end of the championship. It was rumoured, well, it wasn't rumoured, it was reported, widely reported, that he was considering it on Sunday at Assen. He said it was an option, but he wouldn't say much more about that. Yamaha wouldn't get into it, but it's come to pass. I mean, give us your first thoughts on it, because it's a bombshell announcement.
Yeah. Well, I'm still a bit in shock, like I think everybody in the paddock is.
Yeah.
But you know, this guy is a bit unpredictable, and the hardest thing for me is what he's looking for. I mean, because he leaves the best package of the grid at the moment, which I think it's. I mean, I'm not possible to question that. With the second best contract in terms of salary, he's going where? We've reported and we know that Aprilia is very interested on him. And of course, they've been discussing. But I don't know what he's looking for there. I don't know what he expects to find. I can imagine a few things, then we're going to discuss about that. But if your target is fight for the wins, fight for the title, there's no better place than Yamaha at the moment. So that's why everybody is still in shock.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a complex thing, the Vinales-Yamaha relationship, because he was very telling in some of the things he said over the weekend. In the press conference, he said actually that he was surprised that Yamaha offered him a two-year contract back in 2020, because he didn't feel he was able to give his maximum on the bike, and he still feels that.
I think, as you said, you have described the relationship with the word complex, right? Mm-hmm. I think at the start, in 2017, the relationship was good. Then it became complex, and then it became uncomfortable, and then it became impossible to manage.
Yeah.
So those, in my opinion, are the four stages. And you know, the problem is that with Maverick, there's one day that he's super happy, he's super fast, everything goes well, and then the day after, he's really deep in a hole. So I think that's the main problem. I mean, let's put an example. Last Sunday, after the race, he was P2. Of course, he was looking himself in a position to win before the race, but he made a bad start. He was stuck behind Nakagami, and when he was able to overtake Nakagami, it was too late. Okay, but any other rider of the grid would be, let's say, in peace. He was completely annoyed. He was completely angry. He didn't want to hack Menegali. On the podium, his face was completely, you know. So, yeah. And in my opinion, this is a bit disrespectful for all the people working there. So I think that specific scene reflects what's working and what's trying to manage Maverick.
Yeah. Maverick, when he came into to Yamaha, he was, you know, he was quick straight away. He was the plug-in and play replacement for Jorge Lorenzo. Then the Yamaha started to not work. And we saw that for both him and Rossi. It was a year before any of them won a race again between 2017 and the end of 2018. 2019, things looked a bit better. It wasn't a great start to that season for Vinales, but in the second half, everything started to come together. He felt good on the bike. He was winning races. Then in 2020, it really looks from the start of 2020 where this has all really started to go wrong, because he was never happy on that bike. He was never happy with the direction that Yamaha went there, and it just seems to have spiraled out of control from that point.
Last Sunday, after it was pretty much clear that both parts were going to agree to separate ways, I spoke with a few people from Yamaha. And in the end, the final idea that I got from them is that probably Maverick is looking for a place with less pressure. Mm. In terms of winning obligations, you know what I mean? So when you sign for Yamaha, for the factory team, or for HRC, the factory team, or even Ducati, the factory team, you are forced, you are obligated to win. So, and maybe that's what they told me last Sunday. So that obligation is a bit, let's say, tricky to handle, especially if you are not, I think I'm going to use a bit a word, a hard word, but if you are not mentally, let's say, strong enough to deal with this pressure. Mm. And I mean, we have another example. I mean, how many changes have we seen in Maverick's box over the last 5 years? A lot.
Yeah, too many to count.
A lot. So we had Ramon Forcada being replaced by Esteban Garcia. Two races ago, we had Silvano Galbusera replacing Esteban. Then we had Javier Ullate leaving the team. Then his assistant as well. He also changed the agent. So a lot of changes. Maybe, as you say, too much.
Yeah, and another an interesting one is he changed race number as well, because he thought that would help him. You know, he's even looked at things like that, which is odd. You know, it's strange for anyone.
Yeah, it's not the number you wear what makes you win or lose. That's for sure. But you know, I mean, I'm in a way sad, because I think that he's a really, really good guy, to be honest. Honest. But at the same time, I think we all have seen him struggling, and I really want him to try to find the balance that he is definitely lacking at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the actual racing situation in a minute, but that's a good point. It's a point I want to raise, because we talk a lot nowadays about mental health. It's no longer a taboo. It's very much accepted that in the world of sport and the world in general, that people struggle with their mental health, and it's okay to talk about it. And Maverick seems kind of almost unwilling to talk about it. He's still not too comfortable about that. And I think that's something that someone needs to sit down with Maverick and just...
They have tried. But at the same time, I mean, I try to be very cautious on that matter, because I mean, forget the sports side, okay, at the moment, but let's go to the day by day, or to our normal lives. So it's not easy because not everybody have the same tools to deal with some kind of situations.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for the others to put themselves in that shoes, or how do you call
it? Yeah, exactly.
So, but I agree that for his experience over the last 5 years, maybe he would need to change the approach. And you are going to tell me, well, another change. No. But the approach, I mean, trying to look more inside.
Yeah.
And less outside. I don't know if you...
No, you explain it perfectly. And that's what exactly what I'm getting at. Because ultimately, if you're not... It doesn't matter what you do in terms of changes to personnel, changes to the bike. It doesn't matter if you go from a Yamaha to whatever. If you're not happy, you're just not going to be as... Nothing's going to change, really. You're still not going to be happy until you get to that point where you have peace of mind, where you have peace. And I think that's what Maverick really needs, is he needs to find a peace of mind.
Yeah, I think we have another perspective that can gives us even a better perspective, idea about what Maverick is dealing with. So I remember him keep saying, listen, no, I want my thing being a family. I'm working for, because we go out for dinner, we go, we stay all together, blah, 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 blah. And I think it was an influence from other, let's say, riders or rivals or situations. And in the end, maybe in his case, it doesn't have any impact on his performance. Mm-hmm. For example, in others, it has. Like, let's put the example of Marc Márquez, okay? His crew is like his bunch of friends.
Yeah.
But we have another example, like, for example, Jorge Lorenzo. He's won 3 titles, and everybody on that garage was on their own, you know? Following their blah, blah, blah. They were having dinner together, but they were not friends. They were you know, a team. And Jorge won 3 MotoGP titles with that philosophy. Marc has won a lot of titles with a different philosophy. And in the end, you only have to apply the philosophy that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. For example, Fabio's philosophy, you can see, you can tell, is completely different, opposite than Maverick's one or than Jorge's one. It's a bit more similar to Marc, but it doesn't mean that by applying this philosophy, you're going to win. No, it's not that. It's not the number that you've chosen.
For sure. I mean, Fabio's a good example, because when we talk about the mental side, because he has a lot of points in his career, worked with a sports psychologist. Whenever things have gotten tough, he has sort of kind of looked sort of introspectively at himself. And it's always boosted him. If you look at the first time he did it in Argentina in Moto2, when he had the worst weekend ever, he did snowballed from there.
Yeah, the problem, in my opinion, is that the problem is even, I mean, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to put myself into trouble, but I mean, the way we describe this kind of people, sports psychologist, I mean, can be a bit scary, because it says that, or it implies that there's a problem over there. Maybe it's not. It's just that a way to try to make the most and to try to, you know, to get your 100% performance. Like, there is a track analysis, or there are, so in the sport, in the high, you know, level of sport, for example, in Dakar, I've been covering the Dakar a lot of times, and this role, the sports psychologist, is very important, just for letting especially the riders know how to take decisions fast, quick, and don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in touch with a lot of sports psychologists, and they are just trying to help the riders, the sportsmen, the athletes, to take the best decision when they have to. When there's two different ways, and they have to choose, right or left. Or in three different ways. So that's another thing. So I think that these words, psychologists in particular, can be a bit, you know, can have a bit of an impact to a writer to admit that he's working with one of them.
Yeah, well, that in itself isn't necessarily unique to sports, because a lot of people, you know, don't like speaking to psychologists because for them it is admitting it's having a problem, and that, like you say, can be scary and it's difficult, and people need to work at it in their own way. I spoke to Fabio last week for a feature, and I asked him about kind of the sort of work he did, and he said he was given breathing techniques. So whenever he got angry, he did his breathing techniques and a couple of seconds and he was fine. And it's little things like that, because we saw last year Fabio a lot of times got angry and he kept getting angrier and angrier, and nothing got better when he got angry. He's changed that around, and look at him now, 4 wins this season. He's good. He looks like he's going to win the championship. He looks hard to beat.
In these cases, they are giving tools, end of the story, method, you know, to try to put yourself in the most balanced position in order to take the best decision.
So, for sure. And that sounds like something that exactly Maverick could benefit from. I mean, Fabio said this. He said if someone has told you that the bike's not good, or if you've told yourself that the bike's not good, and very much Maverick has told himself that the bike's not good, you're not going to go fast. It doesn't matter how good the bike is. If you're convinced it's not good,
we have end up into that point after many, 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 many race weekends listening Maverick complaining. And I mean, don't forget that what made him fuming in Sachsenring was Yamaha always gives me the same answer. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Maybe it's because they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because they don't know, because, I mean, of course they share data and they know, okay, this thing is working with Fabio and those parameters are not working for you. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe in a way they are telling him with this, we don't know, then maybe the problem is not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's always the same problem. It's always rear grip. So whenever Maverick's tried to find front end feel, he's always lost rear grip, and it always seems to be the same problem for years and years. They've talked about, you know, is it the Moto 2 grip? Is it? Well, it's for 3-4 years. Yes, the Yamaha has had its problems. We know that, but for 3-4 years, it can't be the same issue on a bike that. Listen, Fabio's winning on.
It's very, very, very difficult to find a rider, a rider who says, well, the bike is perfect.
Yeah.
The bike works perfect. And if it does, it's only one specific weekend, or I don't know, maybe two over a course of a year.
Like this weekend at Assen, it was exactly what Maverick exactly said. The bike was perfect.
Okay, but he made a mistake on the start, and everything went turned much more difficult. But what I'm trying to say is that pretending to have or trying to have the perfect bike for every race weekend, it's completely impossible, unachievable.
Yeah,
something that nobody. I mean, when you, I don't want to put the same example, but when you listen to Mark, he says that, well, we have problems, you know, the bike is not at the level, but yesterday, finishing how he finished, he was happy.
Yeah.
He was happy. He said, well, the bike today was a podium bike, but, you know, I didn't. So it's something that it gives him peace.
Mm.
So in my opinion, that's not only Mark, many other riders.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I mean, again, case in point is Fabio. He's talked a lot about, he's had to change his riding style on this Yamaha. He has to ride unnatural, was the way that he described it. He's having to brake a lot harder than he would normally. And it's, but he's adapted to it. And that's the key thing, is you always have to adapt. You have to adapt to any problem. And it just doesn't seem that Maverick as a rider is, as a factory Yamaha rider anyway, isn't adaptable. You know, at Suzuki, you never had the same problems at Suzuki. Okay, well, he was a rookie, but not only this,
don't forget. I mean, I, in a way, let's say, maybe not forget, but I wouldn't put the focus on the technical side, because, again, in Suzuki, he was a rookie. The project was very young, and he was not obligated to win. Not even last year, they were obligated to win. They start the season saying, well, we'll try to do our best. Of course, we won winning races, but the championship, blah, blah, blah. Then Marquez injury changed all the field, and they were in a position to win. But the pressure there is not the same one. I mean, we have these kind of examples in football a lot with winning teams that they have to deliver every weekend and every season, mm-hmm. and even in different competitions, and the others that can win one national league, and then they have 5 years that, no, we're trying to rebuild the team. We're, you know, now it's going to, because somebody will sign our players, blah, 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 blah. But Yamaha, Honda, and Ducati, and probably now starting to be a bit more Suzuki, they need to be there all the time. Otherwise, the pressure is huge. So,
I sort of understand your football analogy. Scotland doesn't win anything, so it doesn't really, you know, it's hard to get on board with that. But I see you. So let's move on then to where he might go. Aprilia seems to be the destination, and that would fit into what you say. There's no obligation to win at Aprilia. It's still a developing project. It's a project that Aleix Espargaró is convinced can get on the podium, but it still needs that push, and Maverick could be the guy. Could be.
I think that Maverick can help a lot to Aprilia, because I mean, he's really, really, really fast in terms of, I think, pure speed. He has more than Aleix, and I think he also will put a lot of pressure into Aprilia if in the end they both parts agree to be together next year. But what I can tell is that they will be even more intention than this year or last year. I'm not saying that Aleix is not pushing, because Aleix is pushing quite a lot. But considering from where Maverick comes, mm-hmm. and I mean, in what position he has put himself, so he will push like hell.
Yeah, a change of scenery could be good for Maverick as well. I tried to kind of ask him about this in the press conference. You know, look at what's happened to Zarco when he left KTM, and look where he is now. You know, Could that be something that would be a benefit? And he said, oh, it's hard to see a benefit right now. But, you know, it might just be what he needs as a change of scenery.
At the moment, I think it's what he needs for being a bit more relaxed, a bit more calm. But at the same time, if I was Aprilia, I would be very careful and try to be ready for this challenge, because if we have heard what Maverick has been capable of saying about Yamaha, I don't want to imagine what he can say about Aprilia if Aprilia doesn't react or give him what he is looking for. I mean, in terms of budget, in terms of efforts, in terms of tools. So I'm not saying that he wants a winning bike, because I don't think he's thinking on that, but in terms of effort, budget, investment, for sure he's looking for something there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You have to think if this had been last year and the Aprilia situation was what it was last year, you kind of think that Maverick probably wouldn't have made this decision, because why would you go to an Aprilia that can't even finish in the top 10? Whereas now, obviously, this is a bike that has proven to finish in the top five. It does look like it is capable of a podium. It still needs a couple of steps. But I suppose from that perspective, it shows just how much work Aprilia have done, that a rider of Maverick's caliber. Let's forget the fact that, yes, he struggled a lot, but this is a fast, fast rider. One of the fastest. It just shows the amount of work, how much that Aprilia project has come on.
Yeah, I think what Aprilia really needs, somebody to put the bike there. I mean, and say, this bike is capable of doing this. So let's speed up a bit, keep the pressure, and try to put the bike in pure speed a bit more, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting because moving away from Maverick, if he does go to Aprilia, it closes the door on Andrea Dovizioso. It seemed to be that Dovi was still kind of non-committal to the idea of racing next year, but Aprilia was looking at it.
Well, but the thing is that one door closes for Dovi and other ones open. So,
well, this is actually what I was going to say, because there's now a vacancy at the factory Yamaha team. It's not, I mean, the logical choice would be Morbidelli to take that seat, but it's not exactly clear cut, because he has a contract with SRT, but SRT is also in a partnership with Yamaha. That's complicated because Petronas puts a lot of money into its project. There's a little bit of tension between SRT and Yamaha after Yamaha offered VR46 discounted bikes. So that in itself isn't an easy kind of situation.
Yeah, but again, I think we have to wait and see what Yamaha chose is, and then. I don't know, to be honest. I think the most damaged part is Petronas at the moment, because they were very happy signing Morbidelli, and as we explained, but he has a clause on his contract saying that if any factory offers him a factory bike, he is free to sign. So I think that the worst position now is Petronas. As far as I know, they have decided not to make the gamble on Raúl Fernández, which was their first priority for being Franco's teammate next year. But if Franco leaves and promotes to the factory team, they will have problems to try to get such good riders.
Yeah, well, because it looks like then in that case they'll have two vacancies, because we are still expecting Rossi to retire. I know the Saudi prince wants him to race a VR46 bike. That doesn't look likely.
No, I don't think. I think Rossi is just trying to, in terms of sponsors and so he's trying to stick into the timing that he set at the beginning of the year for announcing his retirement. That's in the end, at least that's my feeling.
Yeah, and just to finish on SRT, if there is two seats, and it's difficult because there's not really any options. Yes, Dovi might want one of the Yamahas if it's factory supported, but I mean, where else would the team look? Because there are two Moto2 riders, Vierge and Dixon, aren't.
I think they are trying. They will have to look in other championships. I think Toprak will be one of the.
That's another one, because Toprak has spoken about this recently, that he is focused on World Superbikes, but why would you leave a factory World Superbike team for what would possibly be an A-spec Yamaha and MotoGP? I don't see him.
If I would him, that's what I would ask for, the factory. I mean, the factory, the package that Morbidelli is supposed to get next year. Otherwise, not for the second seat, because there's a huge difference between this first bike and the second bike, not only in terms of specification, not only in terms of the bike itself, but also in terms of budget, in terms of salary. So there's two different worlds there.
Yeah.
If I would be Toprak, I would, of course, push for this spec A package. Otherwise, I don't think is the best deal.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Especially if you have to deal with Yamaha. Don't forget that they are. I mean, also Ducati, but Ducati, in my opinion, is more clear. Ducati with this kind of different specs bike, it means that they are playing that you never know why. I mean, what's the point? In the end, Honda realized that there's no point of having one old bike.
Yeah.
So it took time for them. I thought two, three years ago when Nakagami was racing with a year old bike, so what's the point? What's the point? And in the end, they changed.
Yeah.
I think Yamaha is in a different approach because they look into the money. They, you know, if you have four factory bikes, it means that you cannot play with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting situation, and it means we're not going to have a quiet summer break.
No.
I think is the only thing we can glean from this situation.
Yeah.
I think just finally, you know, on the whole Maverick situation, I hope whatever his decision is next, that works out for him, because it would be a shame for his career to, because this is such a great racer, like we said, and like you said, he's a nice guy, and yes, that doesn't count for anything in the world of sport, but he's a good guy, he's a good racer, and you kind of just hope things work out for him, because he came into this year bouncing, you know, he was happy with the bike, he was happy with his personal situation, life was great. You kind of just want him to have a nice time, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I would really like to see him happy, especially happy, either if it's on the bike or outside the bike or wherever, happy.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Thank you, Yuri, for your time, as always. I know it's been another busy weekend for you.
Yeah,
two in a row. Thank you very much to the listeners. We'll have stuff over the summer break. Yes, it's a 5-week break, but not for us journalist types. If you like what you heard, you can listen to our other podcasts, and you could catch everything on autosportmotorsport.com. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye, and take care of yourselves.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.